May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Encounter with Jesus. Do you want to be healed? From our gospel lesson for today. A man went to the doctor. He had extreme headaches. The doctor ran some tests. After a few hours, he called the man to his office. And he told the patient, "I have terrible news for you. You're terminal." "Oh no," the man wailed. "How long do I have?" 10, began the doctor. 10 what?" the patient interrupted. 10 days? 10 months? 10 years? 9, said the doctor. 8, 7, 6. You know, Jesus encountered people in worse condition than this man. He encountered dead people. He also encountered people like who we're talking about today. Someone with a chronic condition. 38 years of being lame. Now think for a moment what his legs looked like. If you don't walk for 38 years, what are your legs going to look like? Atrophied. No muscle. Sticks. Actually, I have a picture of that I used in the early service for a person who has atrophied legs, not able to support them. And then Jesus comes to the man and he asks him a most peculiar question. Do you want to be healed? If you were him, how would you have answered? Of course I want to be healed. But who are you? Don't give me false hope. I've pegged my expectations on this particular treatment, which is the waters of Bethesda. So this is one of those miracle stories that the Bible records that Jesus did. And I want to start by asking, how do you feel about miracles? There are some sincere Christians who believe that all miracles ceased after Jesus ascended into heaven, that they really don't happen anymore. They serve their purpose, pointing to Jesus as the Savior of the world, and so they don't happen anymore. I don't happen to agree with that, but I understand their caution about miracles today. Because there's so many phony things out there. People in Jesus' day and to this present age rarely found it easy to believe in a genuine miracle. Miracles always seem to arouse suspicion, doubt, anger, contempt, and yes, sometimes faith. The Greek word for miracle is semaios, which means sign. Miracles are signs. And like all signs, they point to something beyond the various occurrence. To what do they point? To something outside of us. To something that is beyond our conception. To God, of course. They point to God. Biblical miracles, Jesus' miracles, defy explanation. You're not going to do a scientific inquiry about them and figure out what went on, because they are beyond science. Are they not a clue? Are they not a pointer to someone beyond our understanding, beyond our grasp? Two goldfish were swimming around in a glass bowl. One of the fish announced one day that he had become an atheist. "Okay," said the other true believer. "So who changes the water in our bowl?" Good question, right? There's something outside of us. Now, as I said, there is reason to be on guard about miracles and when speaking of miracles, because you have to be wary of a Disney theology that says, just believe. Eric Metaxas, in his wonderful book, Miracles, cautions us. He says, if we aren't careful about what we believe in, we will end up believing anything. To believe in anything is to believe in nonsense. If an adult, and maybe if there's any children here, close your ears, if an adult believes that Santa Claus is real, the tooth fairy is real, what do we say about that person? They have a problem, right? They have a problem. Something's wrong. Jesus' miracles stand out because they are extraordinary and they're genuine. And so it is with this one. Jesus comes to Jerusalem for the feast. And what feast would this be? Most likely it's the Feast of Booths, that commemorated the Jews wandering around the wilderness for 40 years. And he arrives at the pool of Bethesda, near the sheep gate, where the sheep were washed before they entered the temple area. Now, this pool was associated with a cultic Greek myth that the pool had healing powers. And when the water was stirred by an angel, if you could get into that water, you would be healed. There's no place like that today, is there? Lourdes? There's still beliefs in places like that. Jesus comes to this man. Now, of all the people he could have come to, because what did it say in our gospel? There were multitudes of people, but he comes to this particular man. Now, why did he come to him and not others? And he asked them an odd question. Do you want to be healed? At this point, the man had more faith in the waters of Bethesda than he did in Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was. It's also possible, isn't it, that this man didn't really want to be healed. I mean, he had been begging now for a long time. He'd become accustomed to it. In fact, it could have been part of his security. Maybe he didn't want to be healed. When you go off the ramps here on 40 and you see these people holding up signs that say, we'll work for food, or I'm a vet and I need help and all that, I wonder sometimes, if you offered them a job on the spot, would they take it? Why don't we try that? I don't know. If you grow accustomed to begging, maybe that's the life they want. Do you want to be healed? Jesus said, get up, take your bed, and walk. And instantly the man was healed. Think of it. His legs no longer atrophied. His muscles restored. His balance set right. The complexity of all that it takes to walk and the coordination in a flash made right. I think we forget about how astonishing these miracles are. I mean, we read through them and we just go past, oh, another miracle, you know? No! When have you seen anything like that? Imagine the sheer astonishment of people. Look at his legs now. Now later on, and we didn't read this in our gospel because later on in the chapter, if you want to look at this, later on Jesus found him and said, see, you're well. And then he said this, Sin no more that nothing worse may happen to you. Sin no more. Now, because we live in a sin-scarred world, a broken world, blindness, deafness, being lame, cancer happen. Not because of a particular sin, but because we live in a broken world. But in the case of this man, this verse would imply that this man's sin brought on this particular infirmity. And you know, that happens too. Because of something we do, a sin that we do, we cause harm to ourselves. You see, though, Jesus did more than heal this man, his legs. I think we can infer, rightly so, that Jesus also did something inside of him. Not only was his legs healed, but his heart was healed. His soul was renewed. What matters most is not what happens to us, but what happens in us. Do you want to be healed? I think Jesus is asking this question to every person on the face of the earth. Do you want your heart? Do you want your soul healed? Do you want to believe? And that's hard for people. It's just impossible for people to believe. I contend the number one miracle of all time is conversion. Coming from darkness into the light. From disbelief into believing, from self-will to submission. To have faith is an incredible miracle that God brings about within us. Do you really want to have faith? Do you want to have that forever joy and peace? If you have a wholehearted faith in Jesus, do you know what that will mean to your life? So if this man was healed, do you know what it would mean for his life? No more begging. He'd have responsibility. He'd have to work. Life might get a little harder at first for him, right? If we have faith in Jesus, what does he say to us now that we're healed? He says, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. Ooh. I can see why many people, even those who profess to be Christians, would want to hedge now. Take up my cross. That doesn't sound so good. So we want another deal. Yes, heal me, but let me continue to live the way I've been living. Yes, I will worship you occasionally. Yes, I will consult with you on some decisions. Yes, I will follow most of your commandments, the ones that work for me. Not some of them. They don't work for me. It is a bona fide miracle to see people become fully devoted to Jesus Christ. Fully devoted to Jesus Christ. This scripture teaches us that there's every reason to believe that God breaks into the world and performs miracles. St. Augustine put it this way, miracles are not contrary to nature. They're contrary to what we know about nature. God can do anything. God does the impossible. He did it in you. Nevertheless, we're not to count on miracles. We're to count on the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say to Thomas? He said to Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But far more blessed are those who do not see and yet have believed. However, I would say this, though I don't count on miracles, if I had a serious disease, I'm going to pray that God would heal it. And I believe I've witnessed that God has done these things. I remember a woman in Alabama, and she was not a member of our church. She was the mother of one of our members, and she had very little faith in God. But she was a big drinker. She had cirrhosis of the liver, and it turned into cancer. And when a person like that, things happen like that, people get desperate, and they want prayers, and they want anything. They want to be healed. And so we prayed for her, and we prayed mightily for her. She went to MD Anderson. She got not a good report. Your life is hanging in the balance. She took some treatment. Her cancer went away completely. Now, I believe it was our prayers. She only had the one child. I don't think a whole lot of people were praying for her. I believe there have been miracles in our midst here of healing. God can do the impossible, and He regularly does. And I would suggest to you that if you have some serious health condition, the first thing you do is what? Pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. We should pray for such things, and we will always pray for such things here at Grace. Always. This miracle of Jesus and all the others are truly a sign pointing us to God. A God who is compassionate. A God who is loving. A God all-knowing and all-powerful. He's a holy God, and He hates sin because of what it causes in our lives. He wants to save us, heal us, transform us, give us a joy that has no end. Whenever we read or hear of Jesus' miracles and we think upon such things, it ought to give us, we ought to take them personally, and it ought to invoke in us gratitude. Are you grateful for the faith you have? Of what God has worked in you? Regardless of how physically well you are you not grateful for the faith He's given you? His love, His compassion, His miraculous grace has come to us undeserving people. Gratitude can become a powerful force in your life, causing you to jump up and with renewed vigor to serve your King. In fact, I think gratitude is what makes a vibrant Christian. Today's gospel is a sign itself. It is pointing you to the Savior and Lord of your life. He has a claim on you because of the remarkable things He has already done for you. So the question put to us today changes. From, do you want to be healed? To, what will you do now that I have saved you and healed you? And I think there's really only one correct answer. I will be fully devoted to you, Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. In His name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.